Hello, welcome to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love.
This is Dr. Lana Love.
Welcome to our show.
Today we are really, really happy to have Howard Martin with us, who's the Executive Vice President of HeartMath. Howard Martin is an internationally sought-after speaker on the HeartMath approach to advancing human performance based on compelling scientific research linking heart function with health, emotional well-being, and intelligence. And Howard's responsibilities include global alliances, marketing, program, and product development with HeartMath. And as well, he's one of the co-authors in the groundbreaking book, Heart Intelligence: Connecting with Intuitive Guidance of the Heart. Welcome, Howard Martin. Thank you very
Welcome.
much.
Hey, Lana and David, good to be with you. Always glad to be associated with Aussies. I've been to your country many times doing speaking down there. I've had a great time every time I've been. I'll be back again soon. And it's a real pleasure to have this opportunity to talk to you and your listeners from all around the world.
We're very excited to
Very
have
excited.
you with us. I actually came and heard you about, I think it was 2 years ago when you spoke in Sydney.
Right. And I believe we were pleased to find out that we found you in the resource section with us in Arielle Ford's last book, which she did an interview with us, the how to turn your mate into your soulmate. So we made that connection. It's really great to have you.
No, thank you very much. Arielle's a dear friend. I've known her for over 20 years now. She was one of my publicists when my first book, The HeartMath Solution, came out. And I've stayed friends with her and was with her last weekend at the Transformational Leadership Council gathering that we had last weekend. So, dear friend, I'm glad you made that connection.
Howard, we'd love for you to tell us how you first got involved in this. And of course, for me, as my background as a doctor, I'm really fascinated by the fact that the heart, I believe, has an amazing energetic magnetic field that seems to actually be the one controlling the brain, which is something quite different to what we learned.
Right, and it seems to have an innate intelligence, which is really interesting to us because we're very much interested in the study of consciousness and, like you said, transformational leadership and just the oneness of consciousness. So this is really all exciting, very interesting.
Yeah, well, the story is obviously a long one for me now. It goes back over 40 years as a young man interested in personal growth and pursuing myself, trying to be a better person. I needed to do that. I was, ambitious, arrogant, and aggressive, and those were probably some of my good qualities back then. But I wanted to improve. I was interested in spirituality, consciousness, personal growth of all kinds. Met Doc Childre, the man who founded HeartMath, many years later. Doc was just a little bit older than me, but certainly he embodied an intelligence that embraced mine. He became a dear friend and mentor to me. He introduced me to a new understanding of heart many, many years ago, long before we ever had HeartMath or had our science or our technology or any of that. And basically, we lived in eastern North Carolina in the United States, and we're there for 15 years in obscurity, really just not just Doc and I, but Doc, myself, and others, pursuing our own personal growth. And I think there's something about the purity of that, of not being sort of caught up in the parade or the glamour of it, but just really going deeper in ourselves, is what led to HeartMath. We discovered along the way that the heart was certainly more than a metaphor, certainly more than a blood pump, that it was an intelligence, as you mentioned, David, an innate intelligence that all human beings have, that can and does lift us beyond our problems, even in the midst of the chaos and confusion we often experience. We were just developing that part of ourselves and going through the process of learning and growing like anybody would. But I think, again, that purity of purpose, the purity of direction, led us to a recognition that at some point we needed to begin to share what we had learned. So the beginnings of HeartMath were not based on ambition. We started HeartMath with nothing. We had just our personal belongings and our belief. We had no business plan. We had no investment, none of that in those days. And we worked with like-minded people that we met here in California. We moved to California. We started just by writing books. Doc was the author at the time, just writing the books. We put together some training programs, started to do science to support what we believed and what we'd experienced inside to either prove that or disprove it scientifically. And that led to the unfoldment of HeartMath. And now, 25 years later, it's been an amazing, exciting journey, to say the least. And I think what's most exciting about it is that it certainly continues. There's no end to this.
No.
It continues to grow. It tends to be an adventure moment to moment, day to day. So that's a brief synopsis of what got me into this. And I've just been fortunate, I think, to have learned to listen to and follow my heart. And that's led me to do many things that I never imagined I would do. I had no thoughts about being an author or a speaker. Never even consider that. And here I am today, I am one. I never could imagine being a part of something like HeartMath. I couldn't even imagine a HeartMath. And to have those things in my life today are something that I can never be grateful enough for. And so here I am on an interview with you, talking to people around the world, with interviewers calling me from Australia. And the whole thing is amazing. I'm so glad to be here.
It really is. Yeah, life is a journey. It really is. And I can relate to what you're saying because it was the same way for Lana and I. I mean, I never thought that I was going to be an author, and I didn't think I had that kind of talent. I certainly didn't think I'd ever be doing guest interviews when I wrote my first book. And I never thought I'd be coming to Australia, and I certainly never thought we'd be, Lana and I would be running a radio show, Universal Soul Love, which started 2 years ago. And I started as a detective, and I kind of had similar issues to what you mentioned, and I still do, I think. I'm still trying to improve on my character and aspects of my personality and personal growth issues. So here we are.
And I guess that just raises the whole theme that I believe HeartMath talks about, that when the heart and the brain are in coherence, amazing things happen, and you tap into your innate intelligence and creativity. Is that right?
Well, certainly that's a byproduct of Atlanta. I mean, we know a lot of things about heart now that we didn't know before at a scientific level. But on a different level, I think it's heart time on the planet. There's a new intelligence emerging in the human being. We are faced with many problems today. It's an era of where disruption is really the norm. Everything is in a state of disruption right now, whether it be business or whether it be society or the planet itself. It's a change, a time in history when more change is happening faster than ever before in the history of humankind. The good news is that we are also evolving on the inside just as quickly. And part of that evolutionary process, part of the evolutionary imperative of our times, is the emergence of a more heart-based intelligence. And that's what we've really been exploring here at HeartMath all these years. The scientific part of HeartMath has given us the ability to take that type of understanding and information into a grounded context so that it can make sense and so that it has an underpinning to it that makes it solid and makes it real. And that's opened doors for us into lots of areas of society, societal segments, where heart would not necessarily have been accepted. And because we had science to support what we were saying, it gave us the ability to go into society in a different way. And for that, I'm also very proud. So heart, brain, body research is part of what we do. Today, we do a lot of research. Our scientists do, not me, but our scientists on energetic connectivity between all living systems, about understanding social coherence, you know, what happens when people begin to cooperate more from a heart-based perspective, heart-based place. A lot of interesting, exciting things that are happening for us today. And those are some of the things that I talk about in this 2016 tour that I'm doing.
Oh, excellent. And so when do you want to mention when you'll be coming to Australia for your...
Yeah, I'll be in Australia this fall. Oh, it's actually your spring. I was corrected on that the other day. I'll be there in late September. I will be in three cities, Brisbane, which will be my first time in Brisbane. No HeartMath speaker has ever been in Brisbane. I will be there, so I'm excited about that. I'll also be in Melbourne, and I'll also be in Sydney. So I think the first event is on the 27th of September in Brisbane, and the last one is in Sydney on, I think it's October 1st or 2nd. So it's going to be a great time to be back. I was there, as you mentioned, Lana, a couple of years ago. I think that was the tour that I did with Bruce Lipton. And this time it's a solo process for me, working with a great producer named Chris Hooper. Who's worked with me for a number of years, and people that want to know more about the times, locations, and that sort of information, just go to Chris Hooper Promotions, website. ChrisHooperPromotions.com, and you can find out where I'm going to be and when I'm speaking. So that's that. And again, as I mentioned at the top of our conversation, it's been interesting. My relationship with Australia has always been fantastic, and I've made a lot of friends there that I'm considered to be friends, and I hope they're friends for the rest of my life. And I've always felt a real resonance with the culture there. And so anytime I have an opportunity to come back and to share the latest information we have developed here at HeartMath, it's always a real pleasure and something that I look forward to.
Well, that's excellent. Hopefully we can see you here. And we certainly know Bruce Lipton. We had an excellent interview with him not too long ago. So,
Howard, can you tell us about the magnetic energetic field of the heart and how it controls the brain, according to latest research?
Right, let's dive right in.
Yeah, sure. It's one of the ways the heart communicates with us. We know that the heart is sending information through a variety of ways, and some of those are biophysical channels, like a heart-brain communication existing, emanating from a nervous system in the heart, changes in the blood pressure wave, also hormonal communication. But where it gets really exciting and interesting is the energetic communications. You see, the heart is actually, at the physical level, an electrical organ. It produces by far the strongest source of bioelectricity in our bodies, and it's up to about 40 to 60 times more powerful than the second most powerful source of bioelectricity, which is the brain. This electrical energy permeates every single cell in our bodies, and it actually extends beyond our skin out into space. It creates an electromagnetic field that surrounds us in 360 degrees, and that field can be measured about 4 feet outside the body. Now, this is a very dense measurement, a very traditional accepted measurement using magnetometers. You're measuring an electromagnetic field. When we look at that field, we can see that as we change emotional state, the energy or frequencies in the field also change. For example, if we're feeling frustrated or angry or those type of strong emotions, it creates what's called an incoherent spectra in that field. Conversely, if we're experiencing emotions that have long been associated with heart, like we're feeling compassion or care or love or the appreciation for the good things in life, the field changes. It produces a more coherent spectra. Now, this information is, again, going to every single cell in our bodies, and it's also communicated energetically. So in a sense, we are communicating our emotions through the electromagnetic field produced by the heart. So to your question, Lana, now research goes into how do fields affect one another. So now it goes from biology to physics. The brain produces a little field as well. How does the heart's field affect the brain's field? We know that there's an interplay that takes place there, an energetic transfer that's taking place between heart and brain. But it gets even more exciting. It gets into how does a person's field affect a field or another. What happens when there's a group of people together and there's a field created by that group? And that's one of the things that I actually love about doing live events is that you can feel a field. There's a connection that takes place in a large group of people. And so we research that. And it goes even beyond that into looking at how the fields of us are affected by the energetic fields of the earth and how we, the human race, are affecting the fields produced by the earth. So there's a whole lot going on now in terms of energetic understanding of the heart's communication, of heart intelligence, from a more energetic perspective.
Can I add something to that? I've noticed, I guess because I've developed my own intuition over years of doing investigation, that I've become sensitive to fields and to rooms, and I'm able to read people's emotional energy or their vibrations, and I can read the energy of rooms with people in rooms, and I can get a sense of the emotional energy of a group in a room. And I guess that's part of being empathic or sensitive to vibration that you develop over years of practice, maybe. Is that similar to the measurements that you get with your equipment?
Yeah, well, yeah, you can measure certain things. You can certainly measure the quality of communication taking place between the heart, the brain, and the rest of the body. You can look at changes occurring in the fields. But I think you're talking about a very important byproduct of developing our heart's intelligence. And that is intuition. In the middle of all the chaos and confusion that we see, we're not able to really just figure it all out anymore. The solutions to the problems that we need to develop really come more intuitively now. And so it's a different type of intelligence that we are developing that allows us to see into things in a new way. Heart plays a key role in intuition. To me, in my experience, it's through the heart where information from a field that's not my normal logical linear intelligence actually enters my system and is transmitted at super high speed to my brain where I experience it in my thoughts and my emotions, etc. But heart is like the key to accessing intuition. Intuition is knowing what you know without really knowing how you even know it. It bypasses a lot of those figuring out processes, and it relates to a direct knowingness. And most of us experience intuition more as a feeling than as thoughts. You just mentioned you can sense or feel things. That was the way you described that. So you may not think it all out, but there's a sensing or a feeling that you get, and that's associated with intuition. So developing the heart's intelligence leads to greater access to intuition in a very practical way, a practical application of intuition. And that's one of the exciting aspects of, you know, this type of work, is opening the door to access a new field of information that is essential right now for living in the modern world that we're all in at this time in human history.
You know, Martin, this fills me with great joy because I've always considered myself to be more of a heart sort of focused person. It seems almost like in our world, it's almost like people seem to be divided into those that are heart centered and mind centered. Mm-hmm. And while that's, you know, that's making it very black and white.
That's the dissonance that we're experiencing.
but I guess people that are perhaps more emotionally based are often sort of put down by the more intellectual, cold intellectual types saying this is just mushy, mushy emotion. But I've always felt that the heart has an innate intelligence. Emotions are actually intelligent. Mm. And I know from my background as a Buddhist, we in Buddhism, we talk very much about heart-mind, the fusion of the two. In other words, that the heart, the emotions have their own intelligence and a fusion of the two. So that does fill me with a lot of joy, and it, on a gut level, I know this to be true.
And I just want to add one thing. What I've been noticing lately is that when you're in a conversation with someone and the other person happens to be angry and you're trying to give them the facts or the truth or some kind of logical argument, they're in an emotional state. So they're actually not listening to any facts or information that you're giving them, because it's almost like there's a different communication process going on. They're not receiving any kind of intellectual argument. They're still angry. So their emotional discharge is still going off and two people are not communicating as a result.
And I guess what, would you describe that as dissonance and lack of coherence?
Yes, incoherence, yeah. Let me give you a physiological understanding of it. We'll go back to biology now instead of the energetics. It's when we are in an angry state, the rhythmic beating patterns of the heart go into a very chaotic pattern. And what happens is that sends a signal from heart back to the brain that begins to shut down the higher perceptual centers in our brain. The higher perceptual centers are just less electrically active. When that happens, the emotional brain and the instinctual brain begin to take over. And so when we're angry and upset, we don't even have full access to our intellectual capacity. We're not feeding the brain the right information for the brain to function properly. So no wonder people can't hear. It's when we're angry and upset that we do things that we wish we hadn't done. It's when we say the things that we have to go back and clean up later. One of the physiological reasons for that is the fact that we are actually impacting the brain by sending those chaotic signals from heart to brain.
I see. And then I guess the opposite of that is coherence, where presumably both the heart and the brain are able to connect to each other, and a person is able to access the full resources of all of this.
Yeah, exactly right. When we shift emotional state, let's say when we're in more of, again, a caring state instead of an angry state, heart rhythms are smooth and ordered. That sends a signal from heart back to brain that actually opens up the higher perceptual centers of the brain. So then we have the ability to see the big picture. Then we have the ability to regulate our own emotions better. We can see into others. We can see into the environment that we're in a whole new way. And it gives us that extra sensitivities that we need to navigate life. When you're in that situation, I'll go back to the angry example, when that person's angry, one of the things we tend to naturally do, if we really are solidly coherent within ourselves, is we begin to choose our language very carefully. We become more sensitive to saying things that can help bring that person out of anger. So we do it more from a heart-based intelligence. It's a more heart-intelligent approach. We start using words carefully. We start generating more, you know, more caring and compassion for that person. We're trying to help them to move out of that state that we know is detrimental. On the other hand, if we react to their anger, then what you have is a fight. You've got two people who are not operating at their full intelligence capacity. But when we can hold our own balance, hold our own emotional poise in those situations, that's the quickest way and the best way we can serve that other person, because it really helps them to, you know, move beyond what's causing the anger. And there are a lot of things that go on energetically in that process of energetic transfers between people, the fields affecting one another. A lot of things happen when we're in a situation like that.
So is this like the heart-mind balance that Lana mentioned? I call it the spiritual warrior philosophy of balance, but...
Yeah, I think it takes both a good mind and a good heart to have the, you know, the type of awareness that we need. They're not in competition. It's not saying heart intelligence is better than brain intelligence. But I think what's happened, Lana referred to it a little earlier, is that along the way, heart kind of got the, you know, got written off. You know, it's soft, it's sweet, it's sentimental. Intellectual prowess is what gets you ahead. In these times, it's being shown that that's just not true. And people figure that out for themselves. A lot of you who are listening right now know that inside yourself. You kind of know that when you're coming from a more balanced perspective and when you have a bit more of those heart-based qualities in your emotional state, that you're going to do better at whatever you do. Science is just supporting that, but I think we all experience it in our lives. So again, it's just another one of those examples of how heart is now needed more than ever in the world that we live in today.
So Hal, just before we take our break, could you once again tell us what are the type of emotions or the type of perhaps change in our mental state that allows for that coherence? Are we just talking about heart-based emotions, or are we talking about a sense of centeredness in our brain as well? What is coherence? What leads to coherence?
I think there are a lot of emotions that help to trigger coherence. I mean, just the sense of well-being would be a great example. If you ever just finish cutting the grass, you're sitting up on the porch looking across the yard, you're going, you know, this place looks pretty good and life's okay. That's a coherent emotional state, you know. Or certainly when we're feeling more care for someone or kindness. I mean, there are many. Patience is a real important one. Impatience creates chaos. Patience is the art of intelligent waiting. It gives us the ability to sort of flow with the rhythm of life. And it's a heart-based emotion. But the ones that are the most common that can create that coherence more quickly are the ones that I mentioned earlier. Care, compassion, appreciation, and love would be four of those cornerstone emotions that can quickly create a more coherent state in us physiologically that leads to a change in our emotional and mental state. And to me, opens the door for spirit to merge with humanness.
That's really, really interesting. Certainly all of those emotions, I know, give me a sense of centeredness. And it's interesting that what centeredness might be translated as physiologically is actually being connected, one part of us being connected to the other part. It makes such sense.
We're all connected, an integrated system.
That's right. And I think one of the important things I want to mention, maybe we can talk about this when we come back, is sort of the application of the practice of this, because it's easy for one person to say, I'm a kind and loving person, and that's how I am, and that's what I'm putting out. But then when someone else is angry or has some other kind of other emotion going on, and it sort of throws us off our horse, and it throws us out of balance. And so we're almost, a lot of people are almost believing that they are loving, and maybe they are, but then they're depending on other people to help them maintain their balance. So I think Lana and I are always sort of practicing and looking and talking to people and looking for solutions to sort of, so that we can stand in our own power and maintain our own sense of peacefulness in the midst of chaos. And of course, we have a lot of activists on our show, and we're always trying to work on a micro level up to the macro level on the global issues, from a personal level to the, I think that's how you do things. You know, starts with you and radiates out to the world to solve global solutions. So I think that's something we want to delve into, right?
Absolutely. All right, we'll just take a quick music break and then we'll be back.
Hello, welcome back to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love.
And Dr. Lana Love, welcome to our show.
Today we have our special guest, Howard Martin, Executive Vice President of HeartMath, with us today. Welcome back, Howard.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here. I want to wish everybody listening, wherever you are, in Australia or around the world, I hope you're doing well. I hope that the conversation that we're having provides some meaning for you in your life in some way.
And of course, HeartMath is, I guess you'd describe it as a growing organization that does research into the energetic field of the heart and interaction between the heart and the brain. And you do variety of, there's a variety of books that have been written. And there's, I guess, work on the individual level, on the work on the level of groups, and I guess alliances, and then also on the level of
global consciousness.
That's right.
Transformation. I think that's what we were just mentioning before we went to break, is on how we can incorporate the work of HeartMath and this sort of technology on a personal level, so that it sort of expands to the global consciousness, to the planetary consciousness, the collective consciousness of humanity.
So dealing with a personal level, and it's something that I'm particularly interested in, as I work in the area of emotional health and well-being, I believe that you've actually come up with clear-cut tools to help people reach a state of reduced stress through coherence of the heart and brain?
Yeah, the HeartMath system is certainly more than science, Lana. It's a whole system of tools, techniques, and technology, all underpinned with scientific research. And that's, the system has been designed and refined and worked on for over 25 years, and their motivation for that is to help empower people through these changing times, to give them some of the connection to their own heart's intelligence so they can navigate these life in the 21st century here. And that's why we did it in the first place, and that intention and that that care that started HeartMath in the very beginning is more than alive and well today. So, yeah, there's a lot you can learn. There's many things you can get. People get certified. There are a lot of HeartMath coaches and trainers in Australia, for example, and there are programs people can take and do, and there's all kinds of ways people learn HeartMath through the books, but through the training programs and certainly with the technology that we developed, a lot of ways which we try to accomplish our goal, which is empowering people, giving them something they can use to make life better for themselves.
Excellent. And so just getting back to, I guess, the original, just how would we incorporate some of the things you've mentioned on a personal level in a practical way? I mean, what can people do when they feel that they're grounded and they're balanced, and then they encounter a situation that throws them off, and suddenly they're thrown, their whole mind and emotions are thrown into emotional chaos, and they become absorbed into the other person's chaotic energy?
Well, let me just say this. I mean, that's definitely a part of life, always has been, but it's been exacerbated some now. The changes that we're going through, as I mentioned earlier, are unprecedented. There's so many new things that are hitting us all the time. Life is going through a disruptive phase in human history. And so a lot of things are coming up for people. So a feeling of strong emotions, emotions going up and down and all around, that's happening to a lot of people. There are also external influences, you know, solar activity, solar radiation, so many different things that are happening today that are, can have an impact on emotions. What I think and what I've found is that when we can connect with the heart's intelligence, it gives us a greater ability to self-regulate our own emotions. That doesn't mean we're not going to have ups and we're not going to have downs. It doesn't mean we're not going to have reactions. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have worries or concerns. All those things are going to happen. But what it gives us is the ability to have less of that and to come back from those things more quickly. For example, let's say we're in that conversation and things get angry. And we feel it. We feel it in our bodies. We can have our own reactions to that. We can go into judgment. We can go into blame. We can go into righteousness. We can do all those things. And what I've found is that, yeah, that can happen to me just like it can happen to anybody else. But over these years, it doesn't stay with me as long. Something that, let's say, would upset me for days can now only be something that I process, say, for a day. Something that used to upset me for hours can be taken care of in minutes. Something that used to take minutes to take care of can now be handled in seconds. And so it's the ability to regulate the emotions while acknowledging the fact that we're going to have ups and we're going to have downs that gives us the ability to navigate life again with more poise and more grace and to maintain a certain balance in ourselves. This is the beauty of heart intelligence. Heart intelligence works faster than emotions. It gives us the ability to embrace the emotions in something that allows us to then choose emotions differently. And that is one of the greatest and most important byproducts of doing heart math tools, techniques, or technology, or developing your heart in any way that you can, is the ability to self-regulate emotions in a way that allows you to have more positive emotions, less of the ones that debilitate and drain us, and live a life that has more flow and more balance in it.
So Howard, can I ask you there? You just said that you use something which is more than emotion. So I was intrigued because I had thought that the actual way in which we do this is to switch on love, which I thought was an emotion. Or are you saying that's actually a higher order state of being?
Well, love is a little word. It covers a lot of territory, doesn't it? Love means many things to many people, and it's got all kinds of gradations in it. But you're correct at a fundamental level. If you can activate love in any situation, you don't lose. You know, that's a good way to handle anything. But a lot of times that's a big stretch for people, especially when they're really embroiled in something, whether it's their own personal stuff or whether they're in conflict with another. The way I try to help people see that and get to love is like start with things like just try to be neutral in that situation. Try to suspend reaction just a little bit. Recognize that you don't know everything right now. Recognize that it's not a good time to respond that way. I'll give you practical examples, and most people can relate to this. Have you ever gotten the email that really, you know, you looked at that email and it really irritated you? And the first thing you do is you want to answer the email? And have you ever done that and then wished you hadn't? Well, being neutral will allow you to take that pause, just to pause and slow down the vibratory rate in the mind and emotions just a little bit. And then step back and say, wait a minute, don't answer that email right now. Take a look at it, read it a little deeper, maybe don't answer it at all, maybe it'd be better to pick up the phone and call them. Don't try to work this out through email. That is a great example of heart intelligence and your own intuition looking out for you, is those pauses like that. So neutral would be a great step. If you can get to neutral, it sounds like it's bland, it sounds like it's nothing, but neutral is a very, very powerful state that is keenly observing but not yet deciding.
I agree. That sounds so wise. That sounds so much like the same wisdom that Buddhism teaches us of non-attachment to things that may upset us, a mindful approach.
Mindfulness. I think Patrick McCormick, the channeler of Chiron, he called that the zero point. And I look at that as a quick example as I talk about seeing yourself, stepping out of the situation that you're in if it's a conflict, and seeing yourself as an actor in a movie, and just thinking of yourself as a spectator, and just for a split second stepping out and seeing what's going on from a distance so that you can get to that neutral zero point and you can actually respond rather than react. And that's been working for me, and that's actually been working in my relationship with Lana more. We have our disagreements at times, believe it or
everybody
not.
Everybody does.
So, but we're, you know, but this technique that you're talking about definitely works. And I've seen certainly a lot of improvement in my own behavior. So,
and I believe you actually have, tools or you know, electronic devices that people can, use to,
yeah, first of all, their techniques and things in the heart math systems. I'll be sharing some of those techniques, teaching those techniques at two of the events I'm doing in Australia, and one in Melbourne and one in the one in Sydney. They're going to be one-day workshops, those events. I'll be teaching some tools and techniques, and that's part of it. Then we wanted to be able to have something people could use to sort of measure the effectiveness of what they're doing, anything they're doing. Doesn't mean it's just heart math. It can be any personal growth process. So we developed technology using a science called heart rate variability that really measures the communication taking place, the quality of it taking place between heart, brain, and the rest of the body. And we incorporated that technology in what's called the Inner Balance Trainer. It's an app you can download from the Apple Store for free. You buy a sensor. You can buy them in Australia. You can buy them from us. at HeartMath. You can buy them on Amazon.com, and they work on iOS devices, Apple devices. In the near future, we'll also have it for Android. But this technology allows us to practice whatever you want to practice, Buddhism, mindfulness, any other personal growth practice you want, or heart math techniques, and you can begin to see how coherent your heart rhythms are. The goal is to increase the heart rhythm coherence, to move into high coherence and sustain it. And so the technology is an amazing tool that's been used all over the world. You know, there's been like hundreds of thousands of these things purchased in well over 100 countries, where people are using the technology to improve themselves, whether it's to overcome issues and problems or to improve performance. There are many, many applications for it. So that's an outgrowth of our science that resulted in the development of technology that's good for you, technology that can help you find that emotional balance that many people need in today's world. So it's called the Inner Balance Trainer. You can check it out on our website. There's also a handheld version of that for people that have Android devices called the M-Wave 2, and that's spelled E-M-W-A-V-E. So if you don't have an Apple phone or pad, then get the M-Wave 2. And you can use the technology, again, to develop your heart's intelligence, to use it for things like helping to better regulate your emotions and or to open up more intuition in yourself.
Fantastic. So now we can hook ourselves up to a device and see how good we are.
Yeah, it's cool. It's like, you know, people often ask, is it like biofeedback? Well, biofeedback is the exact science that measures brain waves. What we're measuring is communication that the heart's producing. So it's a different kind of biofeedback. It's not traditional biofeedback. It's very, very popular around the world now. Heart rate variability is one of the fastest growing segments in that type of science. And heart math researchers were the pioneers in that, and we were sort of the first kids on the block to put something out to the world that people could use, consumer-oriented version of that technology.
Fantastic. That's just amazing.
It's amazing how science and technology, scientists are now validating things that people have known for centuries or thousands of years about mindfulness and the mind-body connection and even mind, body, spirit, because I know I started about 6 years ago in meditating, and I took the Jon Kabat-Zinn mindfulness course at University of Massachusetts, which I highly recommend. But I just noticed over the years, I came to this same conclusion you did. I started noticing that I was holding on to grudges less, and even more recently that my emotional states would leave much quicker and negative feelings were being released much faster as a result of just embracing this path or this journey or whatever it is where you sort of develop your awareness and your intuition and your heart intelligence and your heart-mind balance.
Yeah, that's the measurement of growth, really, I think, is most important, especially today, now in our world. It isn't just about higher consciousness or understanding the cosmos. It's about how are we making changes moment to moment, day to day, like the ones you just described, David, and how is that improving your life and improving the life of those around you? Those are the big questions, I think, that are most important to ask these days. And it's exciting. We can do that now. There's new intelligence around that gives us a greater capacity to do that, and that's really exciting and part of where we are in the evolutionary process.
Mm. We're wondering, Howard, whether you can tell us how this then relates to establishing coherence between groups of people, between organizations, because I understand that you've got a global alliance, and ultimately between the feedback between Earth and humans. And I believe you have sensors on the Earth that are sensing people's ability to put in presumably positive energy into the planet. That's
wow.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, it's another aspect of heart math. We do a lot of things here, probably too many. But we developed technology in consort with other scientists that can measure very subtle changes occurring in the energetic fields produced by the heart. By the Earth. The energetic fields are the ionosphere and the geomagnetic field. And these fields are well known now to be creating changes in human health and performance individually, collectively, societal changes being linked to changes occurring in these fields. So we wanted to study that in more detail. We wanted to understand more about how the fields were affecting us, but we also wanted to test a hypothesis of how we could be affecting the fields. what's happening with the mass emotions produced by all of us, the 7 billion people on the planet? And are our emotional states, which are transmitting an energy through electromagnetic fields, are they affecting the energetic fields that the Earth produces? So there's a lot of science to go to either prove or disprove that. But to take on that work, we've been deploying sensor sites around the world. They're called Global Coherence Monitoring Systems, and they are measuring the changes occurring in the Earth's energetic fields. We have a sensor in Northern California here at the Institute. We also have one in Northern Canada. We have another in Lithuania. The fourth sensor is in Saudi Arabia. The fifth sensor is in South Africa, and we do have the sixth sensor in New Zealand. And so we are looking at these fields. There'll be more deployment of more sensor sites, but we're studying the fields and studying their effect on us, and also, you know, looking at the possibility that we, in fact, are also influencing these fields. This is exciting research, and it's called the Global Coherence Initiative. If you go to the HeartMath.org website, the nonprofit part of HeartMath, HeartMath.org, and you can click on that link, and you can go straight to the Global Coherence Initiative. I would suggest that you might want to become a member. It's free. You just sign up for it. You become a member of Global Coherence Initiative. You get updates. You get invitations to times when we are putting out more love and care to planetary situations, things like that. So it's a cool part of HeartMath. I'm on the board of that, as is people like Greg Braden, for example. He's on that board with me. And something that I really believe in. I think that all the energetic contributions people are making are very important. And there are thousands of groups around the world doing synchronous meditations and activities and webinars and teleseminars and lots of ways that they're doing it. And I think that's all very, very important. So in essence, what we're really doing is we're just doing our part. We're making our own contribution to that. And it's a part that I really believe in. I do talk about it in my live presentations. I show a lot of really cool graphs and charts and a lot of interesting data that we've got when I'm doing live events, and I'll be doing that in Australia.
That's excellent. It brought up a thought. I just came up with, I was thinking of something that Lana and I had come up with that we'd been talking about in a radio show in the past that we call the Super Consciousness Project. And we have a lot of, we create alliances with a lot of other large humanitarian organizations. And our idea was to, you know, we talk a lot about raising the vibration of the planet. And one of the ways we had thought about doing this was through something called catalyst groups, where we would expand the global consciousness through some type of meditation or something. I'm wondering how that might relate to what you were just mentioning, mm-hmm. that with what HeartMath
is doing. So the idea that, you know, perhaps...
Let me tell you what I'm up to. This is the first interview I'm going to talk about. This is still formulating here at HeartMath in terms of our strategies and what we're going to do. But let me tell you what's interesting to me right now. We've built a solid foundation for 25 years here now. We've got a huge footprint in the world. We've accumulated a lot of information. We've got great science to support what we do. We've got a system of tools and techniques, and we've even got technology to measure all of that, both at the individual level and at a global level. Now it's time to create a heart movement on this planet. We've got a new brand coming out called Add Heart. That's going to be the HeartMath brand, Add Heart. And what I want to see happen is I want to see lots and lots of people, millions, adding heart, just a little bit of heart to everything they do, adding heart in their families, adding heart in their relationships, adding heart in their professional world. I mean, think about think about thousands and thousands of health professionals just adding 5 minutes of heart before they went into discussing something with a client or doing a treatment. Think about school teachers adding 5 minutes of heart at the beginning of class, or 5 minutes of heart that a family took time to do before they went out somewhere. It's all that momentum of adding heart, which ties into the bigger picture, I think, of what's happening in the world anyway. So what I'm up to now is creating a heart movement, and we're going to be coming out with new ways to do that. We are going to be connecting with more groups around the world. We want more interconnectivity to happen. So all that's, you know, what my passion is right now. And the reason I'm even doing speaking tours right now is I want the opportunity to be live with people, to share that message, and to begin to create this movement in a different way. I want it to be viral. I want it to be online. But I also want it to have the human component and human interaction that I believe it really needs. So that ties into what you just said about projects you're working on, connections you have with other groups. So again, at heart is what I'm up to. That's what's most passionately in my consciousness right now, is how do we get the world to add more heart to everything that we do?
That sounds absolutely fantastic, and we would love to work with you as well on that, because the potential is just phenomenal. I guess one of the thoughts that we had was that if you have the right number of individuals doing that, you could reach a threshold that might be able to boost the consciousness, the heart-mind consciousness of humans throughout the world, so that we actually are able to lift the vibration of the whole planet.
Well, that's the idea, yeah, and that's going on anyway, and it's certainly, we can certainly offset some of the issues and stressors that we have. I'm going to also be talking, and I'll mention it now while we're together, it's like about this thing I mentioned at the beginning of the show about disruption. I mean, everything is up in the air. If you think about business today and how it's different, you think about how Amazon changed business, how Uber's changing business, what Airbnb has done, how Netflix completely changed the video business, how Napster changed the music business. And then you look at the disruption in society. You look at things like Brexit. You look at terrorism. You look at social unrest. You look at the things that are going on around the world, including the United States. And you see there's a disruption in the major systems. All that's taking place. It's part of an evolutionary process. It's moving old out as new comes in. And so in the middle of all that, not only is our external things taking shape that we've never seen before, but it's happening on the inside of us as well. There's an inner technology. I call it intuit technology, intuition entering the human system in a different way. That's happening simultaneously, and we need to develop that more and focus on that more in order to offset some of the stressors that are happening, but also to embrace the new that's coming. We have just begun to see the changes in our external world that are going to take place in a very, very short amount of time, within the next 10 to 50 years. There's going to be more technology like we've never seen before. Life is going to be very different really quickly. We've got to be prepared for that. And to me, the best way I know to be prepared for it is to access heart intelligence. And that's, you know, again, what my message is that the world is changing. It's in the middle of it right now, and more is coming. And I don't mean more is coming from just a bad sense, like more terrorist attacks. It's going to be a lot of great new things, but there's still going to have to be an adaptation process. We have to move into this new in order to embrace it. And that happens on the inside out individually.
That's right. In mysticism, we call it as within, so without, and as above, so below. And that's why Universal Soul Love was formed, I think, was to come up with positive solutions to the global issues. So I know exactly what you mean, and Alana does too.
By the way, you can't possibly connect a few politicians to these sort of tools, can you?
Everyone.
And our military stop
the
wars.
Part of the shift that's going on in the political situations, going through its disruptive phases as well. I know you recently had a very strange election in Australia. I don't even know how it came out, but I know it got to a real strange place. Certainly in the United States, we're having the most polarized election we've ever had, or in modern times, and it's really strange. And so that's all part of it, though. That's part of what I'm talking about. I don't want to leave anybody with a message about the new changes from a fearful place. I think there's going to be an amazing new world opening up. It already is. I see the trend graph, so to speak, moving in the right direction. But we've got to deal with some challenges in the middle of all that. I think we're quite capable of doing it. I have a true, deep belief in people. Yes, and I believe that everybody's got a good heart, and everybody's got their own heart intelligence. Yeah. All I'm doing, and our heart mass doing, is just trying to dust it off a little bit, add some science to it so it makes sense, and then provide simple tools and techniques that people can use to do it themselves. It's an era of self-empowered, co-creative process right now, and we're just doing our part to help with that, to facilitate people as best we can.
Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely fascinating and wonderful talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on our show.
Thank you for the interview.
So that was HeartMath, and we'll have to say goodbye now from Universal Soul Love. This is Dr. Lana Love.
And Detective David Love.
Thank you for listening, and beautiful heart, mind-centered love
message
to all of you.
Yes. Thank you so much, Howard.
Good night, everybody. Take care.
Take care. Bye for now.